drink and dance all night. Now it's time for divers and pacifiers and our fans are feeling tight.
Bottle service with BKB. Bottle service with BKB.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Bottle Service. So excited to have you here this week. First things first, top of the show, I have some news. I am doing my first ever bottle service event next month, and you're all invited. I am so pumped for this. I've been wanting to do something like this for a while. So next month, May 8th, mark your calendars, I will be hosting a mom's happy hour here in Nashville at Soho House. We're going to have some bubbly provided by One Hope Wine. We're going to schmooze. We're going to meet new mom friends, and I'll be taking the stage and hosting a fun little panel with some awesome, talented moms. It's going to be so fun. We're going to talk shit about the good, the bad, the funny sides of motherhood. And then More Labs is going to send us all home with some morning recovery so we can all parent the next day. Easy breezy. This is a totally free event and you do not need to be a Soho House member, but you do need to RSVP. So if you're in the Nashville area, May 8th and want to join, email me at sarah@bigkidproblems.com or slide into my DMs and RSVP. We do have limited spots, so it's like a first come, first serve kind of thing. I'll put that email in show notes too for easy access, but get on it. Anyways, okay, so other than that little epic announcement, I have a really good show for you this week. Our guest is Alana Molstein. She is a globally sought after nutritionist, private coach, and the Wall Street Journal best-selling author of You Can Drop It. So Alana has a passion for health at all ages, and today we're really going to dive into setting healthy habits for our kids early, like early, early. We're going to talk about easy swaps, red flags to look out for at the grocery store, easy health hacks to make our lives easier because, let's face it, we're all tired parents and cooking healthy meals from scratch three times a day isn't really realistic. So this episode is packed with so much information and I love how knowledgeable Alana is. So without further ado, Alana Molstein, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
I am so excited to be here.
Yes, we have lots to chat about. And before we get into anything, I just kind of want to give the audience a little bit of background on you. Can you tell me a little bit about like how you got into nutrition? Where did this background come from? Give us the goods.
Yeah, of course. And I'll put a motherhood spin on it because that's always, you know, always relevant. But so I grew up in New York City and at 4 years old, my parents got divorced. And at that age, my whole life just kind of got rocked. I mean, I guess those are really your earliest memories. And so those early memories were fighting, you know, transporting from one house to the other, both of my parents kind of falling right into the New York City dating scene and so much transition, no constant. And so I really started looking to food as a source of comfort and stability, honestly, in my life. So without realizing it, I was emotional eating. At night, no matter where I was, there was always a pantry of snacks. And while I didn't necessarily always have parental advisory or supervision or, you know, home-cooked meals or, you know, family life in the traditional sense, I definitely had food for comfort. And I started becoming very, very overweight. And at, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, all my doctor's appointments at the pediatrician all revolved around my weight and how big of an issue it was. And at 8 years old, my doctor finally turned to my parents and said, enough's enough. You guys aren't doing anything about it. The two of you don't have healthy eating habits that you're role modeling. You're going to have to send her off to fat camp. And so at 8 years old, I went for 9 weeks to weight loss camp. And that really kind of shaped a big, you know, source of like my whole life and trajectory. Because in the good side is I had a very positive relationship with food. Because I happened to love camp. I wasn't one of those kids in the movies who are trying to escape, even though those kids existed. I was kind of there trying to optimize and lose as much weight as I could because I knew I would probably gain it all back and more in the school year, which I did. So I would go to camp every summer, lose 30 pounds, go back into the school year, gain 50. Meanwhile, my parents weren't getting any healthier. They were just cycling through yo-yo diet after yo-yo diet. And eventually at 13, I decided enough's enough. I got to do this on my own and sought out to lose weight in my very unique approach to weight loss. And it was very successful. And so I decided I want to become a registered dietitian, get my master's degree in nutrition and help others do it too. And over the process, I, you know, ended up losing 100 pounds. I've kept it off through the three kids. And it's my job and delight and passion to help other women do it too and realize that it's a lot easier and more attainable than they might have thought in the past. So that's kind of like the background on me.
Yeah. And you have three kids. How old are they?
Yeah. So I have a 9-year-old daughter. I have a son turning 6. He's 5 and a half, and a 2-year-old, a real toddler.
Okay. Okay. We're both in the toddlerhood era, which is, you know better than I do because you've got three of them, how fun that is and how interesting
that
can be.
It's so fun. It's so fun. It's so exhausting. It's so adorable and so terrible at times. It's the best. Honestly, it's really funny because my son right now is 2 and a half, and this is always the age where we get pregnant with the next. And so my husband is extremely done. So I think that's it for us, but it's such a cute age to then like want to have the next one because we're really big on one kid in diapers at a time. So it's really like at this like 2 and a half stage when they start to getting a feel for potty training that it's always like, what else can we take on? But yeah. I think we're good for now.
Yeah. I mean, with three, I can't even imagine. I'm like struggling over here with one. So like kudos to you. But with toddlers, I mean, I have seen, and I don't know if it's been the same with your three kids or if it's been different. I'm actually like curious your insight here, but I've really seen Bodhi's eating habits change, especially over like the last 6 months. Cause I really thought I was doing everything right. Like I've been introducing, basically since he's could eat solids, like at 6 months, he's been eating what I eat. Like this kid was eating like salmon bowls at like 7 months, you know, like I was like, we are crushing
right,
this.
For sure.
He's going to be such a good eater. And all of a sudden in the last 6 months, like he's gotten so picky. I cannot get a vegetable in this kid
right.
to save my life. And I'm just like, how do you do
this? Yeah. Every kid is so different. And I will say that everything is a stage. You know, that was one of those lines that helped me get through all of it. You know, everything's a stage. You know, they have those stages where they're sleeping really well. That's a stage. Like then they, you know, all of a sudden they're sleeping well postpartum. And then all of a sudden they're teething. And then like, you're back to not sleeping. And then they have a stage of eating this one food and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm a rock star. And then and you realize, oh shoot, that even that good thing was a stage. Oh no. So they're all incredibly different eaters. My kids, my daughter, I had a whole Instagram channel for her. It was like breakfast with Olivia. Every morning she had chia seeds all over her face. They would literally, the chia seeds would stick to her face. She had chia seeds in her diaper. My daughter didn't know that pasta wasn't black because I was only giving her black bean pasta. So at the time I was working with a bean pasta company called Explore Cuisine and they had this black bean pasta. It looked like squid, like black strands. That's the only thing she ate. It was protein. It was fiber. So good for her. So much iron. I remember like the day she saw white pasta and I think it was actually chickpea. Like I still think I was still only in bean-based pasta. And I still, to this day, I love Goodall's bean-based mac and cheese. It's the best thing ever. So like I isolated my daughter like crazy. She didn't have, the sweetest thing she had was real fruit. I don't believe in 1-year-old cake smashes. Like she just didn't see that stuff. But then the second they start going to birthday parties at 3 and 4 years old, then they start getting introduced to sugar and then it's very hard. And then the second kid grows up going to those birthday parties from day one. So the second kid is always introduced to sugar sooner, third kid even sooner. So they're all completely different eaters. We always joke that if my daughter likes something, my son doesn't and vice versa. My second loves vegetables. He loves vegetables. He's not as good with protein. My daughter is like kind of falling into this carby Barbie state where she just loves carb and isn't eating the scrambled eggs that she used to love that my husband made. So it's like really trying to fit it all in. And then my baby is being so obnoxiously picky. I just want to scream because I never had a kid this young eat this much added sugar. So it's making me a little crazy, but I'm finding all unique ways to deal with it. So they all have a unique approach. So like I would tell you, like your kid is not eating a vegetable. So my son, Julian, he loves the look of broccoli and string beans, like veggies. He like what's up from them. It's magical. My daughter too, she'll eat cucumbers with a sprinkle of salt. My baby is being, and he's my best speaker. So he'll literally be like, I don't like this. And it's so articulate and it's so specific. And I don't like this. And it's so clear that he doesn't like it. And he will throw it, like classic toddler. So for him, I have to be a little bit more creative. I found he really enjoys cauliflower rice. So my older kids, now that they've had white rice, cauliflower rice is a little bit harder versus my baby. It doesn't look like a green star. Like he's not eating the roasted broccoli like my older kid, but he'll do the cauliflower because it's the same color. So I think there's always a way and every mom has to give the will. My husband recently, I said to him, I was like, you know what? My daughter was refusing this dinner and that dinner. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make her this. And he's like, don't even bother. Not to throw my husband under the rug here, but he was like, oh, why even bother? I'm like, because she's my daughter, you know, because nutrition is important and because this matters so much to me. And if your kid decided one day they didn't want to sleep, you would still get a sleep coach, read a book, like get the music going, get the lights going, get the twinkly stars on the ceiling. Same goes with nutrition. Just like a kid decides one day that they don't want to sleep and only want to watch screens, you would say like, no, you can't do that. Same with the kid who tells me they just want toast for dinner. That's not a reality. Like that's just, I look at nutrition as an integral part of parenting that takes just as much time and energy as all these other functions of parenting we care about.
Yeah, that's a really good point to bring up because that's something that is so frustrating. But something I've been doing is like, I still always offer, like I'm always putting things on his plate that are healthy. And luckily like my husband and I eat pretty healthy. So I'm like giving him what we're eating basically and offering it to him. But what do you do when they just don't eat it? So like we'll have a dinner, you know, I'll literally slave away on a meal, plate it up so cute for him, serve it to him and he just won't eat. So like in those situations, if they're like full on refusing food, what do you do? Cause then I'm like, oh, well now I just need to get him to eat something. So I'm like, do you want toast? Right. Do you want buttered toast? You know, and offer giving him, and now we've gotten really bad cause he's gotten really into pouches. Like he's obsessed with, and we give him
like awful.
I know. And I feel like, Well, we're going to get into like brand specific stuff that you like, because I think that's like so helpful too. But like even the healthiest pouches I can find, I know are still loaded with sugar. So
I just don't like pouches because they're sucked back in 3 seconds. I think there are like these dainty little kids who don't really care about food, who can like lick it or whatever. I'm a huge eater from day one. And my husband, even though his family has good genes and, you know, a better build, they're also like, they're eaters. So my kids are eaters. So if they're sucking back a pouch in 3 seconds, they're just not going to register fullness. They don't get to bite. Like even if it's a healthy thing, I just find it doesn't equate to fullness and they always just want something more after it. So pouches are very kid specific. If you have a kid with a tiny little appetite and it gets them excited, then that's one thing. But if you have a kid who, you know, is just going to go from pouch to pouch to pouch to pouch, you got to really like hold back on the pouches.
And they're expensive. It's like $4 for like that 3 second suck back. I'm like, yeah, dude, you already finished that?
That's how I feel when my friends buy those like sugary yogurt drinks. They're like Danimals or Trader Joe's has some. They're like, you pop the top and you just suck it back. They equate to $2 a pop for like these little sugar yogurt drinks that have no probiotics or protein in them, which is the point of having, you know, yogurt to begin with. So I'm always telling my friends, like, it's not just the sugar. It's like, they're so expensive. They're so wasteful. It's like this huge amount of plastic and so expensive for these tiny little things. It's such a low reward option. So the terms of doesn't my kid need to eat, won't my kid starve? Like, I just want to address that for a second. There's an incredible pediatrician in Beverly Hills. His name is Dr. Nagel. He's super famous in my area. Like everyone, celebrities send their kids there. He is fabulous. He is old school doctor. He's been in practice for decades and he's been this. He really cares about weight. He thinks weight is weight in childhood, nutrition in childhood is a massive marker for how healthy this kid will be later in life. It's his job as a pediatrician to make sure kids are like really at a healthy point with weight. He refers me patients all the time, and he'll say, like, even if the kid is still in the chart in the right place, the trend has gone up too much. Like, why have they gone from the 40th to the 70th percentile? Yes, that's fine because it's still in a healthy range, but what's going on there? So he really deeply cares about nutrition. And this is his philosophy. He always has this line, whereas kids need one good meal a day. And all these parents do is like, they freak out because their kid is refusing lunch or something. And then the parents get so scared their kid is going to quote unquote starve, even though the kid is well nourished, in a healthy weight percentile, you know, like had a good breakfast. And so the parent gets like, how can my kid survive? How can my kid survive? And just starts throwing them ice cream and cookies and cakes just to quote unquote get something in so they don't starve. The kid learns that sense of manipulation. That kid now knows if they just hold out for 20 minutes, they're going to get all the sugar and refined carbohydrates they want. So he doesn't play to that. His big line is like, kids need one good, hearty, healthy meal a day. After that, you got to wait for them to be hungry to eat a good quality food, because snacks kill appetite. And if you keep giving kids these constant empty snacks, they will never crave good, healthy food. They will just never crave it. So sometimes it takes actually waiting for them to be hungry. So a lot of times we think like kids come home from school, they need dinner right away. They need a snack right away. I find if I start that, I almost like can't get to dinner, you know, or if they come home and they go straight for snacks, dinner never happens. So like I try to, you know, drink water. Bam, at 6 o'clock, they're like, I'm hungry. I see them go to the pantry. I'm like, perfect time for dinner. Yes. Mm. Now I can get the chicken, like, you know, the homemade crispy chicken nuggets from the air fryer in them, you know, cucumbers with salt, maybe a Caesar salad, a lentil rice, or Goodles noodles, the bean pasta, and kind of give them a good meal. So I wouldn't be too scared about them like not having the food, because if kids are hungry, they will eat nutritious food. And at the end of the day, like these empty snacks, they don't actually satisfy. If they don't have protein and they don't have fiber, they're not actually going to help the kid feel full ever. And so even if they're hungry, you'll have those, but it doesn't get you anywhere. The kid will come back for a next snack 5 minutes later.
Okay, I think that's important to hear. And so if your kid is in one of these cycles, because like I'm just thinking of myself, where he'll deny food at dinner, and then 20, 30 minutes later, he starts saying, eat, eat, and he wants something to eat. Like, do you give him something? Or are you like, no, we had dinner, you missed your shot, so that they like learn in the future? Or are they too young for that? See, this is where you come in handy.
And I always, I think my husband and I have had like a lot of like strife over this, because we sit down and we want this glorious, all kids at the table, all paying attention with perfect manners, like idealistic family dinner. There are lots of benefits to them. Obviously, it's been almost impossible. My kids are ADD, hyperactive, and they all have crazy different schedules. So my husband is really big on how important it is, and I agree. And the studies with eating disorders, just so you know, because I know this is always like every parent's fear, is like so scared of eating disorders. There is really good evidence to support that it takes, two family meals a week can drastically minimize the risk of eating disorders later on in life, which is unbelievable. Like just sitting down, having a family meal, seeing parents eating next to your siblings, that alone can just foster such a healthy relationship with food that can drastically minimize the risk of eating disorders later in life. So it's obviously like very important to me too. Like, you know, obviously that's something that I would really value and want to get behind. But we also have to meet the kids where they are. And it is so unrealistic for them to like sit in one spot for more than 15 minutes. And that's not social media. That's rambunctious toddlers. Like they're not even in that stage of life yet. And it's very hard for them to sit. So what I like to do is we make that the goal that everyone eats at the same time. It doesn't always work. And I can tell that some kids are just not hungry at the same time because their friend passed them a snack at carpool, like, you know, that pickup, and they're just not hungry. And I don't like to force people to eat when they're not hungry, because I also think that has, you know, ramifications expectations. And when my kid says, I'm genuinely not hungry, I want to respect that. Sometimes that means, okay, well then you could stand and you could play with the ball, but just stand near the table and talk to us. But then an hour later, when they say they're hungry, we're having avocado and a spoon. Like, we're having real food. Like, just because you weren't hungry for dinner doesn't mean that now we're going into the pantry. So I like to make them a plate of dinner. Usually I make them all plates of dinner at the same time. When they get to them, varies. But the next thing they will eat will be that plate. So even if it's like 8, 9 o'clock at night and doesn't feel normal to be, you know, eating, you know, cucumbers, it feels more normal to have, you know, a snack from the pantry or apples and peanut butter in bed or something like that. No. Like, you didn't get your protein. Like, you're going to have salmon at 9 o'clock at night in bed in your jammies if that's what's going to happen. But we're going to make sure that we're going to check the box of all those food groups whenever they happen for you.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know for sure.
Because I do think that, like, while there are benefits of the family meals, when my husband's like yelling, like, why can't we all sit down? I also see the consequences of that. You know, like, my brother dreaded our long family meals as a kid, and it's like made him not want to hang out, you know, like have different relationships with all of us as a resort, because it felt like torture, and I don't want to create that. So it's really about positivity and positive relationships and flexibility with kids. And I will say, with time, they do eventually sit down and you can achieve those family meals, but at 2, 3, 4, 5, you gotta be patient with that energy.
Yeah. I think that's good to know. I want to get into, like, feeding specific and foods, and it already, like, things you've said in here, I'm like, oh, that's such a good idea. Like the black bean pasta, or, you know, whatever it
great.
Is. Yeah. There's, like, so many little hacks that I know that you have, and you do have an account. I'm going to put it in show notes for anybody, but, like, you have a whole kids account, where I've seen, like, you have share really good recipes. But I figured, like, a good place to start would be to, like, get granular and, like, taking us through a grocery run. Yeah. Sure. Or even just, like, literally going to the grocery store. Cause that's, like, can be the hardest part, like, getting there and just, like, what the heck do I get for these kids? 100%. I can tell you. Yeah. Like, I don't think I've ever mentioned this on the show before, but one of my, like, real first, like, not first, but postpartum breakdowns, where I, like, sat in my car afterwards and I was like, I wonder if this is postpartum related, was after a grocery store run, because I felt so, like, just so disheartened. And I went into, like, a Costco, like, I drove 45 minutes to a Costco. I had watched this TikTok that was like, snacks to get your baby at Costco.
Oh, that's probably trash.
It was like, I literally went around and, like, was getting all these things, and then I turned the ingredients around and I was like, no, this is bad. And I literally walked out of Costco with, like, a crate of oranges and, like, nothing else. And my husband was like, you really drove an hour and a half both ways to come home with, like, nothing?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I was so overwhelmed. Yeah. But I was just like, I feel so overwhelmed because there's so much bad stuff. There's so many bad actors. There's so much, like, marketing that tells you things are healthy when they're not.
So much. So I think you did the absolute right thing. It's so much better to come home with just oranges than come home $300 later with a bunch of trash that now is Costco size and going to take forever to get through, you know. Oh my gosh. That's like, yeah, no, you did the right thing by just coming home. Okay. Let's go from, like, top to bottom, really great products. I'll start with something I'm staring at right here. I think the best thing you could do for your kids is, number one, I always say water first, veggies most. Water first, veggies most. The best thing you could give your kids is a very healthy, positive relationship with water. They need lots of good water bottles. Water bottles are super important. You know, my kids sometimes, like, love the plastic ones for convenience, but I will spend too much money on, like, the Contigo for kids and the, you know, all the little water bottles that are stainless steel, really good for them, that they can, like, think are cute, that they can write their names on, that they can fill up in school, that they can fill up everywhere. You want your kids to drink lots and lots of water. Really definitely don't want to introduce juices, don't want to introduce sodas before you need to. Now, the only thing is, though, if mom is drinking Diet Coke, eventually that kid is drinking Diet Coke. If mom is drinking and dad is drinking apple juice and orange juice, the kid is going to drink apple juice and orange juice. And so sadly for us, my husband and I are not only satisfied by water, like we actually like flavored water and things like that. So our kids have become the same way. My daughter, the oldest, definitely has the best relationship with water because we focus most on her. But my son and I'm really trying to push off my toddler, my 2-year-old, but definitely my 5-6-year-old. It's so annoying, but he does not like water. Like he just thinks it's bland and boring. And I have a trademark for water, but me myself, like I could drink it first thing in the morning. I could drink it after workouts, but eventually in the afternoon, I do need a flavor enhancer. I do need something. I used to be addicted to like Diet Snapples and Diet Cokes, but now I don't like artificial colors. I don't like artificial flavors or anything like that. So I have this line called Vitapods. I partnered with this company, Vitapod. It's amazing. It's a 5-calorie electrolyte drink. And the strawberry mango and the apple pear are my favorite flavors. The apple pear tastes like sugary apple juice from your childhood, but it's 5 calories, no sugar, and it has added electrolytes. And it's way, 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 not just like healthy, for, not just safe for kids, but it's healthy for kids. It has electrolytes. So that's first is drinks. Beware of drinks. Next is we'll go breakfast to dinner. Okay. So in terms of breakfast, you always want a protein at breakfast. Okay. Protein at breakfast. Kids need protein throughout the day, as do adults, but kids need it. It's their growth. It's their development. And it's going to help stabilize the blood sugar of whatever carb they're eating at breakfast as well. So we need a protein at breakfast. Kids branded yogurts are sugars. It's just so sad, but everything marketed to kids is usually unhealthier. How disgustingly painful is that? It's like,
it's so bad. I'm like, how is this allowed?
It's like, it's so illegal. It's so terrible. It should be illegal. And if you go to places like France, in France, the philosophy is ages 1 to 5 are the most important critical nutrition years. It is a cultural thing in France. If you speak to anyone who like grew up in France, who like is in that generation, they will tell you 1 to 5, they have this French slogan that's all about establishing healthy eating habits. That's the whole mindset is like, and that's the mantra, establishing healthy eating habits. So everything becomes a habit with kids. If a mom gets Starbucks and the kid wants a cake pop on Tuesday, and the mom says yes to the cake pop on a Tuesday because she thinks it's special, that kid doesn't think it's special. That kid now thinks it's ordinary. Now, the next time that mom goes to Starbucks, that kid is going to kick and scream until they get a cake pop. It is not a good idea to get your kids started on these things because everything becomes a habit and it's all about establishing healthy eating practices. So protein at breakfast is critical. And fluffy eggs, like, you know, whipping them up good, cooking them with butter is great. Really good if your kids are doing them. If your kids are pickier and they're not going for Greek yogurt, I have Wonder Whips in my cookbook that my daughter loves, even though she's picky. I have these Wonder Whips where like I make Greek yogurt taste good with different things. So she'll have that. Eggs, always good. If your kid is pickier or you just want to have like a good carb at the meal too and you want to sneak in protein, there's so many easy ways to sneak in protein now. So protein pancakes are unbelievable. So either add, you know, make them at home with your own protein powder, just eggs, cottage cheese in the batter, whatever you want to do. Or there's brands like Birch Benders, Kodiak, Trader Joe's remakes one of them. I think they remake the Kodiak cakes. Even Bob's Red Mill makes a high protein pancake batter. That should be a staple in every mom's kitchen. I don't know why. There's two things every mom should have. It's protein pancake mix and Goodles, like high protein, high fiber, like bean-based pasta, you know, and so that's the brand I love and I work with because it's mac and cheese, like Kraft mac and cheese, but it's protein, it's fiber. So those are two ways where kids should always have more protein. Also, Dave's Killer Bread makes a protein bagel. That's awesome. So we definitely want protein at breakfast and those are all good ways to do it. When it comes to cereal, most cereal and milk is just sugar and refined carbs. So when it comes to cereal aisle, you could also find either pair it with a Greek yogurt so you get the protein or with eggs so you get the protein or the cereals now, Catalina Crunch, Magic Spoon. They're amazing. There are so many.
Magic Spoon is good, I feel like.
Three Wishes is incredible. Great. I don't know if you've tried Three Wishes. It's also like a bean-based cereal. Unbelievable, like that these things exist. So I always say like, our obesity rates keep getting worse, but if you think about it, it's never been easier to eat healthy because there's so many more for products that they didn't used to have. So I'm very excited about stuff like that.
So my mom just told me she checks my Instagram every day to see new pictures of Bodhi. Every day. I don't really want my family combing through my social channels for a glimpse at the baby. There has to be an easier way to share photos. Am I right? Enter the Family Album app. It was created to give parents a secure and easy way to share photos and videos with loved ones. It's a totally secure personal haven for your family's memories with no third-party ads and no unwanted eyes, unlimited storage, and it's totally free. No more worrying about being bombarded by ads when you're just trying to relive those heartwarming moments. The app automatically sorts photos and videos by month, allowing you to swipe back in time and see how your child has grown. I love being able to look back on all of our favorite moments, like no more scrolling through endless feeds or searching through folders. Another cool feature about the Family Album app is you can order 8 free photo prints every month to be delivered to your home. It's been really nice to have some tangible pictures to hold on to. You can also easily invite family members or friends to your album for easy access. So, to all the parents out there, it's time to level up your family photo game with a free photo sharing app with unlimited storage. Head over to the App Store today, search Family Album, one word, download the app, and start creating a legacy of love, one photo at a time. For the Dave's Killer bread, because me and my husband have like fought about this before, my husband's gluten-free and like tries to make our son have as little gluten as possible. But I've looked at Dave's Killer Bread and I'm like, this looks pretty good to me. And like the seeded, like, do you have like a recommendation when it comes to bread? And Bodhi just like loves toast. So it's like something I feel like I can get him to eat. Do you like have a preference over types of bread? Cause I know like there's camps that are like sourdough all the way, or like a seeded bread or white wheat. Like, I know that's like a niche question, but.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like bread is definitely a hot topic, and it's such a spectrum of the type of bread your kid could eat. So gluten-free is really tricky because the gluten-free breads typically have no fiber. Like it's sad, but like potato starch, rice flour, these things just don't have fiber. It's very hard to find a high fiber gluten-free bread. If you find it, that's great. But fiber isn't critical. Fiber is what keeps us full. Fiber helps stabilize blood sugar levels. Fiber helps feed the gut. So we have a healthier gut microbiome. So our kids have a stronger immunity. It's been linked to better mental health. Fiber, 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 protein, fiber, protein, fiber, protein. So most gluten-free breads people think are healthier, but they contain no fiber. And so that's not going to be helpful for us. The higher the fiber, the bread, the better. Dave's Killer Bread, they all happen to be like they all happen to hit my minimum requirements for fiber. Even they have like a better white bread that still has fiber in it. So I think that's great. And then they have bagels that have protein and fiber. So I'm a big fan of that as well.
Yeah.
Especially if your kid is picky and not pairing it with much else.
Yeah. And I feel like when it comes to toast, I'm like, okay, this is something I know he'll 98% of the time go for. In terms of butter, because like I'm just thinking of toast too. I follow like Dave Asprey. Are you familiar with him at all?
Yeah.
And he had a post recently that I thought was really interesting, and he was talking about like grass-fed butter, and he's like, with my kids, he's like, you can have as much grass-fed butter as you want. So he's like, I cover our vegetables in it. It's like has a lot of really good healthy fat. And I'm like, that's like, I grew up in the era of like the 90s, like, but we had margarine that my mom, like we, all of our toast had like margarine. And, and now I've heard that's like so bad for you, but I think that that's like a good thing to know too. Like butter is a place where I think you can splurge a little bit more for like a higher quality, like grass
fed. When it comes to kids. Yeah. And when it comes to kids, I'm all about fat. So most of our brain outside of water is fat. Like our brain is like a squishy ball of fat. So the more fat you give it, the more our body has those basic building blocks to repair itself. So we definitely, our kids have like very rapid growing brains, like we hope. So the more fat, the better with them. Ideally fish. I can't go a week without having salmon and tuna. Like I really like my kids to have salmon and tuna every single week. I'm not yet like trying to get them on the sardine anchovy bandwagon. Pretty much my fault because I'm particularly not as on the bandwagon as I should be, but definitely try to give them, you know, healthy fats in the form of fish for sure. And avocado. I live in LA, so I'm totally spoiled. I grew up in New York City, where if someone had an avocado, like, you knew they were the richest family in the block. Like, yeah. an avocado in New York City was like $10. They were not in season. So like, if a family had avocado, it was like, we looked at that as like the family having a Rolls Royce in the driveway. Like, that was like a rich food. In LA, it's one of those things where we're just like, have so much abundance of, it's like people living in Florida and oranges, I guess. Or Washington and apples. So, or even like on the Northeast and fish, you know, like if you live in Rhode Island, like sometimes you have great seafood. So we have lots of avocados. I think my kids probably have that all the time. That's how I'm like with Dave Asprey and the butter. That's how I am with avocado. If they're bored, they just want a snack, we'll always do avocado and spoon because I want them to have those healthy fats. You know, butter is fine. I don't use that much butter when I'm making my own omelet, but with my kids, how I make their protein pancakes. Also, I do grass-fed butter for them, or ghee, and olive oil on their pasta. Fat is very good for controlling. It helps to control blood sugar levels. It helps to slow down digestion, keep them fuller longer, and it gives them the building blocks of their brain. And I do find sometimes when you increase the fat, you actually can, and they feel more stable in their blood sugar levels. So I'm a big fan of fat. I don't restrict it with kids at all.
Yeah.
And even if the kid has a weight issue, even if I'm working with a private client and, you know, I'm working with a private client kid for weight loss, a healthy weight loss referred by their doctor, and the kid is motivated and it's appropriate, I still usually don't touch fat. Like, it's still, I don't think that healthy fats make people overweight either.
Right. I want to touch real quick on brain health, because this is like another thing that I know, like my husband and I, when we think of our own food, like we're really conscious of. And I know there's been like a lot of research coming out recently about like how bad certain oils are for your brain, and going
and
back to that,
processed foods.
Yes. And going back to that Costco trip, like when I was going around getting everything, that was the thing I was looking for. Every time I turned one of these like healthy products around, I would just always look at the oil, and like, I want to make sure I'm going to ask you like which oils like you are very much steer away from, but that's always something like I think of when I'm in the grocery store. I check to see, because there's certain oils that I'm like, if it's on there, I'm like, buy, and I put it back on the shelf. For you, like, what are those, what oils are absolute red flags for you, and other ingredients, not just oils,
right?
Like, are there other things that you see on the back of something where it's an immediate back on the shelf?
Yeah, I'd say when it comes to like the best oils, the only oils I feature in my cookbook, it's avocado, coconut, or olive oil. And then, you know, good grass-fed butter is fine. So definitely I want to stick to those oils. My least favorite oil that I literally think is the most disgusting thing on the planet is cottonseed oil. It's not common, but there are some snacks and packaged foods that have it. For anyone listening in the audience who observes Passover, corn oil is not kosher for Passover. So a lot of snacks that contain corn or soybean oil, which is a lot of processed snacks, then typically get swapped for cottonseed oil. That is literally the worst oil for you. Like, cotton comes from cotton. It's like not meant to be ingested. Okay. So that's the worst oil. It's not very common. The next worst oil is hands down partially hydrogenated soy, any oil, anything that says hydrogenated, if the word hydrogenated is in the ingredient list, immediately no, like, do not waste your money on that. So just avoid the word hydrogenated. Now, when it comes to oils that I think are really not healthy for us, it's when it's soybean oil or corn oil. And mostly just because when made in America, those are our largest genetically modified crops. So soybeans, I think, are very healthy in Japan. We see that in Japan, women are consuming massive amounts of edamame and soybeans, and men, and they have some of the lowest rates of breast cancer and cancer and obesity and heart disease in existence. So it's not soybean oil that's necessarily the worst thing, because it's possible they have it there, but they're growing it naturally. In the US, we have taken corn and soybean. We have so deeply subsidized these crops, making them some of the mostly grown things in our country, like way more than tomatoes and avocados and cucumbers. We're growing all this corn because we're processing so much into corn oil, and the crops are designed to like grow faster, and then we're processed. It's just like, ugh. So the soybean oil and corn oil that are highly processed, I definitely like to stay away from. But if a product is otherwise good, this is what I would share, like just to bring down a lot of the fear. If a product is otherwise good and it still contains fiber and it's low in sugar and my kids like it and it has protein in it, it seems like it's a good snack. And it says soybean oil or corn oil, but it might say non-GMO soybean oil, okay? Or it's the absolute last ingredient, meaning there's very little of this in the food. And if you look at the fat content, it's, you know, under 2 grams. So there's not a lot of fat in this product as it is. So the oil content in it is not high and it's very low hanging fruit. I would still let my kids eat it. I'd say the things that if they're on a package, I would never let my kids eat, like ever willingly, like in terms of, and when I say really, I let my kids eat everything. If we're at a birthday party and it's offered and it's free, I'm never going to pull something out of their hand when their friends are watching and other parents are watching. Like, I would never put them in that situation to feel embarrassed or be insecure or be uncomfortable in any way around food, because that has way more consequences down the line than benefits. So when it's out and about and it's free and accessible, they're having things. When it comes to using my hard-earned money to buy them things, I'm very discerning and I tell them that. Like, I'm not, like, there is artificial dyes in here. I'm not going to buy that for you. So dyes, I really don't like dyes. I do not ever spend money on dyes. I don't want red dye. I don't want blue dye. I don't want yellow dye. I recently just got back from a healthy food show and I got all these like quote unquote healthy Laffy Taffys. Like, that's what they are. They're just quote unquote healthier Laffy Taffy. They are exactly the same as Laffy Taffys. They just don't have artificial colors. They're colored naturally. So my kids are like, what? I want to eat a million of these. They're healthy. I'm like, they're not. They're still a treat, you know, like I don't buy that stuff. But like that's the type of thing where I'm more fine with it. But artificial dyes and then high fructose corn syrup is just like a no-no.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so crazy to me. And like when you really, there is like a thing though, and I don't want to like overwhelm anybody who's listening to this, because I know I am that person who is like turning around the ingredients when I'm shopping and I get overwhelmed because I'm like soybean oil, and like throw it away. And that next thing I know, I'm like not getting any foods. And it makes my job harder as a mom, because then I only have whole ingredients and I have to cook and you have to do all of these things. But I think there is something to it, to just be aware and to like look at the ingredients and even things like something as trivial as like peanut butter. Like when I go to the peanut butter aisle and I'm just like looking for a good peanut butter, it is crazy to me. I really have to turn over quite a few jars to look for the ones that are just like peanuts and salt and water. Because that does exist. It just takes a little bit of time to kind of go and find the best options.
I think people though have to understand the difference between whole food, minimally processed food, and ultra processed food. So this is like a video I just posted this week. It's doing pretty well. Like, I think it's really important to understand this. Obviously, we all want to eat whole food. We're also hardworking, busy moms. I do not only give my kids whole foods all the time. Like, it's just not practical, right? Mm-hmm. So there's whole foods, and then you have ultra processed foods like corn chips, where it looks nothing like corn. It doesn't look like corn. There's 12 ingredients in it. Not one of those things you have in your pantry. You don't have, you know, GMO corn oil in your pantry. You just don't have all these wild MSG, like random hydrolyzed, biotized stuff, THT, TBT. You don't have these things in your pantry. That's ultra processed. We now know there are so many good studies to show ultra processed food is linked to higher risk of depression and anxiety. So obviously we want to keep that away from our kids. Then there's the sweet spot of minimally processed. What is minimally processed? It means there contains ingredients in this. Yes, it's packaged, but they're all ingredients that you might have in your kitchen, right? Like, obviously I keep bringing this up because I love them and I work for them and I actually happen to have a box right here, so I should send you some, and they're at Costco, but Goodles, like Goodles is a life changer for my family. My daughter eats Goodles every day for lunch. So if you look at the ingredients, it's like chickpea flour, and it has a mix of oatmeal flour, but then there's like, they throw broccoli in there somehow. And then it's milk powder, like it's cheese powder. It's real food. Even sometimes when I don't have fresh avocados, I'll get my kids like those holy guacamole, those 100 calorie packs from Costco. And if you look at the ingredients, it's avocado. And then it's like citric acid, which is just vitamin C to help keep it fresh. But like, it's what I call minimally processed. Sparkling sodas, sparkling waters, those are minimally processed. Yes, they have some natural flavors and this and that, but that those are the things that kind of make living living, and things convenient. And so there are definitely, like, I love hippies puff snacks. Those are great. It's chickpea flour. I don't know what oil they use. It might not be olive or coconut or avocado oil, but it is probably like a low fat food. So whatever fat is in there, and I'm sure it's a higher quality than some other thing. So even with potato chips, like I don't mind potato chips, even the Mrs. Vicks, you know, if you look at the ingredients, okay, what is it? It's potatoes, it's oil, it's salt. You look at a Pringle, the list is so long. Like, what did it take to get, you know? So if someone is not concerned about their kid's weight per se, but just, you know, go from, you don't have to slice the potatoes yourself and fry them yourself, or, you know, air fry them yourself and go through that and pat them dry and everything, but at least get them something that's potatoes, oil, and salt, rather than get hydrolyzed powders and a million preservatives that's overly salty, you know, just so unnecessary to go the ultra processed route when we do have these like convenient, healthier foods out there.
Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about this, because this is something I definitely wanted to get into. Are there any other like mainstay grab and go items that you usually pick up at the grocery store? Because I know that that can be such a lifesaver for us parents.
For sure. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like the rice that's already cooked, the frozen rice that you could just heat up fast is amazing. I love, cheese is great. You know, like we're definitely not a dairy-free household, that I look at as more as a whole food, you know, super minimally processed string cheeses. We do a lot of fruit. My kids do eat a lot of fruit, and I like to keep it diverse because that's great for their gut health. And it just keeps them, you know, they love fruit. So it's a nice way of keeping them optimistic about open mind. So like they'll try a peach, they'll try a plum, they'll try. So we definitely do a lot of fruit and nut butters as well, like almond butter, sunflower seed butter, ants on a log type thing is definitely a staple in my house. I do a lot of meatballs. I do like ground meat a lot, ground meat and ground chicken. Meatballs are a really wonderful place to shred in a carrot or zucchini, and a kid would never know. So if your kid is like not eating obvious vegetables, shredding a carrot and zucchini and meatballs is one of my favorite hacks. I also make supersized burgers. I have a recipe in my cookbook where you put cauliflower rice in the burgers, and it's just that, and then you prepare the burgers how you would otherwise. Fantastic. So we do a lot of meatballs, hamburgers. My kids love hamburgers and meatballs. My kids love wings, but I don't get them fried. We usually do them ourselves on the grill. So drumettes and wings, my boys are super into. Sweet potato fries, huge trays of roasted broccoli, huge trays of roasted cauliflower. For myself, I sometimes use spray oil, but for my kids, I go heavy on that olive oil or avocado oil. Heavy on the oil, heavy on the salt. Anything that gets your kids eating more vegetables is always a good thing. So I'll do that. And then when I make them smoothies, I try to sneak all the crazy stuff in there. Smoothies are like my avenue to really sneak in stuff. But there is a fine balance. If you sneak in too much, they can tell, they don't like it, they spit it out, you wasted all these good ingredients. So you have to, you know, tread lightly on those friends.
Yeah, Bodhi, I've been drinking a lot more smoothies, and Bodhi likes to drink what I'm drinking. So he started to get really into smoothies too. My husband makes us, like, we have like our matching glass cups, and he has like a little like toddler thing over his. And I'm so happy he's eating smoothies. He's loving smoothies right now. Cause like you said, I'm like, we can sneak so many things in there. It's great.
Right. Smoothies are a winner.
Yeah. So I know we've covered so much. And we could honestly keep talking for like another hour. Like I think there's so much. I guess if there's like one thing, like if somebody listening decides today, like they want to try and get their kid to eat healthier, like what is like one recommendation you would say to make? Like, what's like a one easy like switch or thing that you would tell our parents to do?
Yeah, water first, veggies most. When your kids are hungry, have veggies there. Baby carrots and hummus always in the fridge. Yeah, baby carrots and hummus, like that's my daughter's go-to. Sometimes she'll be like, I don't want anything else for dinner. I'm only going to eat baby carrots and hummus. And my husband freaks out like, that's not a dinner and that's not. And I'm like, you know what? If our kid is refusing everything else but eating baby carrots and hummus, not so bad. Okay, that's a vegetable. That's beta carotene. Hummus has protein and fiber. You know, obviously we don't want our kids to whittle it, but like you got to get them having at least like 4 or 5 vegetables. So it's not easy. It's not easy. I know I just threw a huge number out there for some people to be like, oh my God, never. But some can be obvious and some can be sneaky and they don't realize it, right? So some could be you like roasted broccoli with a lot of olive oil and salt and maybe Parmesan and garlic powder that they can eat like popcorn. And then others, and like baby carrots and hummus. And then others might be like the zucchini and carrot you're grating into their meatballs, but like, or the cauliflower rice, you're putting half and half in their rice and they're not noticing. So it really, there's gotta be some sort of workup. Everyone, if you're starting at zero and you've come to this game too late, it's worth it. Like back to that line of like, why even bother? Because this is your child, because these are pivotal years, because it's critical and essential that they get these nutrients and they establish healthy habits and a healthy relationship with food. It's worth it. No one said it was easy. It's not easy getting through a temper tantrum. It's not easy breathing through it. It's not easy. You know, it's like these things aren't easy. Parenting is not easy. It's so worth it to put up a fight to ensure that your kid has some protein before going off to school. And later in life, it's such a healthy thing for them to know. Because later in life, they're not like one of my clients who's like, my mom told me that I need to lose this weight and I resulted to starving because I didn't know how. Like, it's not an unhealthy thing that they're going to walk to later in life. And later in life, what are they going to tell their therapist? Like, my mom was so obsessed with me eating protein. Like, right, so that you can grow, so you can develop. And when you give it this sense of care, like, no, I'm not going to buy you that same snack that your friend's mom buys them because, like, I love you and I know. It's not that that parent doesn't love that parent. So you got to be careful with that you're not messaging that. But it's like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to buy that because you could give way other excuses. You could make up that the store that you go to doesn't have it. Like you could totally get out of it another way. But if you just tell your kid, like, I just don't think that's the best thing for us to fill up on. If you go to their house and you have it, that's great. That doesn't mean that we need to keep it in the house. But then I will say, have flexibility on some things. My kids love Takis. So I get the Trader Joe's brand that I think has, like, it doesn't have like the blue crazy colors that I think they have in some other grocery stores, but they love Takis. Sometimes if they have some Takis in their lunchbox, along with their sunflower butter sandwiches and yada, 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 like they eat more of their other food. So never restrict, but, and it's nice to keep the fun food there because it makes them excited about the other ones too sometimes. But I think at the end of the day, it's important to care. And it's important to know that if it's gone like too much and you feel like it's becoming resentful, then that's like toxic and walk away at that point. That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm just like, fine, here, have the 20 lollipops. But I'll usually be like, having big fights over sugar isn't worth it. Let's take a 10 minute break. Let's go do something else. And I'll be like, nah, I'm upset at you. And be like, okay, you're upset at me. Like, we'll talk later. And yes, I'm known for tough love. My book, You Can Drop It, is pretty much like a Bible of tough love when it comes to weight loss. And that's why people get such great results. I definitely don't have the approach that everyone would take. Not everyone's going to agree with what I'm saying. A lot of moms would say, I think that's terrible, yada, yada. I just know this to be true from working with so many clients down the line of what is worth caring about and how the messaging can result in really positive effects later down the line in life, even if they don't get received as positively when the kid is 4. You know, later down the line, you're setting a positive precedent for what good food looks like. And in a lot of other countries, those moms are just as firm with saying, we eat healthy food, we're a healthy family. And I think in America, we're like, nah, eating disorders, like, or it doesn't, or it causes like a very strong, respected relationship with food where kids realize that it's important and that what you put in your body is actually valued and important to focus on. So totally. it's a balance for sure.
Yeah. My house, like, we were definitely an ingredient house. Like, we had no snacks. My mom's like not from this country. She's Swedish. Like, we just didn't have processed food. We never had snacks. I hated it as a kid. Like, I would love going to my friends' houses that had like ding dongs and all of this stuff. But as an adult, I'm a healthy eater. And like, I am thankful for that. I'm like, oh my God, like, I really, like, we've established some good, you know, a basis here where I don't like, you know, sometimes I like, you know, treats and this and that, but like at a baseline, like, I'm like a pretty healthy eater. So I'm like thankful. And maybe it took 30 years, but I'm like, wow, thanks, Mom. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I went to a kid park this weekend and I saw all these young kids, like 5-year-olds, eating these like 350 calorie King Cone ice cream cones. And my kids were all asking for them. And I'm like, no, we're going to go home. We're going to have dinner. And yeah, I think down the line in life, they're going to be like, yeah, my mom was probably really taking care of me. So I think there was a lot of toxic messaging in the 90s and early 2000s with how parents spoke to their kids. I think coming from a place of care and consideration, you can't fight that. I think that's only going to be positive down the line.
Awesome. Well, Alana, thank you so much for giving us your time and so much knowledge in this episode. If people want to find more from you, where can we find you?
Yeah, absolutely. AlanaMolstein.com is kind of a catch-all. There you'll find all my social media pages. Definitely, you know, big on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Nutrition Babe on TikTok, Alana Molstein RD on Instagram and YouTube, and my website for, you know, private consultations. I have a meal delivery service. I have a houseware line. You know, every tool a person may need for health, wellness, and nutrition, we pretty much got you covered on my site.
Amazing. And I want to mention, you have like a pregnancy program too, just for this audience.
Yes. I know we've got a lot of like, the best.
Yeah. Pregnant moms. Yes, so I'm going to link that in our show notes too, for anybody who wants to check out.
2bpregnant.com. The number 2 letter B, pregnant.com. It is like the best $40 you'll spend. If you get it early in your pregnancy, you'll handle cravings better, have a much more positive relationship with the scale through the process, and really establish healthy eating habits so that postpartum, you feel really good and ready to go as well. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Alana, thanks so much. And guys, thanks for bumping along with us. Bye.